can't believe I'm in Cape Town. Yay! I know Paul... Sure. Is this loud? Was it just me? Okay. I know Paul shared last week how grateful we are to be here, but I just think for myself, I just want to say, so happy to be here. So, I feel so humbled to just have this opportunity to, you know, have this chance to speak to all of you and just to serve you this year. You know, I feel like this is going to be amazing. It couldn't have come at a better time for us as a family, I think for the forces as well. If you can't hear me, I'm really sorry. I'm fighting something in my throat. But yeah, and lucky me, I got to speak about love, you know. I'm a little bit emotional, I think. It's been a really rough week, just with not feeling great, and Ilse, and Morris says the poor, and then I want to cry. So bear with me. You know, I said at the small group leaders meeting that, you know, this year, I don't want to work very hard. I didn't come to Cape Town to work very hard. I've come to see God work. And so if you get anything from this lesson, it's God. Because, you know, when you just feel like, I'm so weak, I feel terrible, I sound awful. So, amen. I hope God is going to work. Please turn your Bibles to John 13. Let's pray. Holy God, Father, we are so grateful just to know you, to have a relationship with you, God, is so humbling, Father, that you would come down and humble yourself to become a man so that you could have a relationship with us, so that we could cross the barrier and have a relationship with your Father is just the most amazing thing in the world, God. Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your understanding heart towards us, that you remember that we are dust. I pray that you will speak through me, God, that you will help my voice to get better as I go along, God, and that every sister here today will walk away with something, God. I pray for the brothers that you'll speak through Greg and just soften their hearts to really hear what you want them to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to think about this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you think pre-creation, it's like God and Jesus had to sit down and have a bit of a chat. You know, they had to say, okay, we're going to create this whole earth and we're going to make people. But they also knew that we would fall. They knew that sin would enter the world. They knew that we would not be able to save ourselves. And they knew that they needed a plan to save us. You know, Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So before he created the world, he had to think, okay, what are we going to do to help them? And he knew that we couldn't save ourselves. So he had to think, okay, that leaves Jesus. Okay, Jesus, if we make them, if we go ahead and we create this world and we make these people who are going to fall into sin, we need to save them, and you the man. And Jesus had to decide whether he would be the savior of the world. This is before he made us. And you know, that always blows me away and really says radical love to me. Because he knew he would have to come to earth and suffer. He knew he would have to die because nobody else would do that. Isn't that amazing, sisters? God loves us so very, very much. It just blows my mind. You know, love gives us the most joy and the worst pain. It's such an amazing thing to just love people and feel deeply. And then at the same time, it's like, oh, it's just crushing. You know, love, it's such a hectic emotion. It's so huge. But you know, Jesus introduced the world to love. He washed his disciples' feet. He touched the leper. He went across every barrier that people set up. He said, love your enemies and pray for them. This was the Romans. You know, when James shared about the crucifixions last night, it was like, oh my goodness. So love them and pray for them. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it goes against everything that we are. You know, but Jesus didn't come to be a nice guy. He came to show the world radical love. And the night before his last night with his disciples, he said something that will impact us forever. In John 13, verse 34, we read, "And now I give you a new command, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples." Isn't that just a hectic scripture? It's such an upward call for us to love as Jesus loved. I love how he said, "I give you a command." Because I think if he didn't put it in there, we'd be very selective in who we love. Oh, I can love you as Jesus loved us. Cool, you're my best friend. I can love you. But then there's like, oh, I don't know if I can love you the way Jesus loved me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how we are. We are very selective. And that's why Jesus said, a new commandment. By this, people will know that you are my disciples. It's that powerful. In the first century, it looked the way James explained last night. People actually had to die. I can't imagine having to die on a cross, but that's what Jesus called them. You need to lay down your life. And for us today in the 21st century, it looks exactly the same. We need to be able to lay down our lives for each other. You know, when you think about Jesus dying on the cross, have you ever thought what he personally had to gain by it? I mean, personally, what did Jesus personally gain by dying on the cross? Nothing. It was all about us. It was all about you. His love for us is so big that it doesn't even involve him. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to gain something from this. It's like his complete focus was us. That's radical love, sisters. You know, I think the first thing we need to do, and I think being a South African, I can speak on this, not necessarily a Cape Townian, but this is what we all face in South Africa. It's just crossing the line of divide. You know, I think we can all stand up and say our different languages we speak and what our personal likes and dislikes in people. And we can talk about, different personality types. When Paul and I were dating, we thought, oh my goodness, we are so similar. We are just so similar. We are like one person, you know. And then we got married, and a year afterwards, we were like, oh my goodness, we couldn't be more different. We are like, he is melancholy, deep, and sensitive, and I'm choleric and all over the place over here. But that's what all the things that we have to deal with. We are so different. And, you know, I think be more than accept each other, we need to embrace each other. Because acceptance to me says, oh, I'll accept you. That's fine. You can be the way you are. That's nice. I'm happy for you. But when we go embrace, that takes more heart. It takes more effort to embrace someone. To go beside the person and say, okay, we are in this together. I embrace our differences. I embrace how you are not like me, how I am so very much not like you, you know. When we came to Cape Town last year just to check out schools and everything, a brother said to me, it's not ack, it's ick. So I was like, okay, you know, for me, I'm a Joburger, it's ack, and it's not hack, this hick. So I was like, oh my goodness, these Afrikaans people are going to think I can't speak Afrikaans, you know. So it's not even just, oh, white people or black people. We have differences, you know. If I think about the racial divide, you know, growing up I was a traditional Afrikaans girl growing up in a small town. And if you told me 20 years ago that one of my best friends would be a black girl, I would not have believed you. But, you know, Zama and I just have the most amazing friendship. She really doesn't feel like my friend. She feels like my real sister. But it didn't come easily. We spent hours on campus talking about how she grew up and I grew up and the things that she experienced and how she became who she was and who I am. You know, and I think it's spending time together that's only possible with God. That you can look and say, is that even possible that people who are so different can become best friends and real sisters? You know, there's an age gap. You know, if I think about Joan, she really feels like, I don't know, sister, friend, mother, an all-in-one. She's 17 years older than I am. But there's just a friendship that we have, a bond that we share. You know, after James's lesson last night, she's like, okay, Jackie, what's my one thing? Because she's allowed me to know her to that point where I can tell her what her one thing is. If she didn't humble herself to my level and say, this is who I am and this is what I'm dealing with, I would never have been able to tell her what I think her one thing is. You know, I think even our social groups, how much money you earn, or where you live, or who your friends are, those things can so easily divide us. You know, I think coming here, it's been very obvious that if you live in this area, you go, your kids go to this school. And if you don't live in that area, your kids can't go to that school. And that's the society that we live in. You know, and I think it's so in your face all the time. Even at work, the people you speak to, this is it. These should be your friends. And this should be where you live. And this should be where you shop. And I need to find out which is the cheapest mall. I can't remember which one it is. So that I can know where to shop. You know, I think even comfortability divides us. You know, I became a disciple in London. And it's amazing how the South Africans always stuck together. It didn't matter where we were, social, at church. We would find each other and we would sit together and we would talk to each other. And because it was comfortable. It was a taste of home. It was, you know. And I think that's how we can be. Oh, here's my friend. I've known her for 17 years since we've met in Parra High School. Woohoo, we sit together. But guys, it can so easily divide us from the rest of the church. Where people sit together who are similar, that's not radical. There's nothing radical about that. I mean, the world does that all the time. I mean, pick a church, any church on a Sunday morning. Most of them, you'll find that, even if it is mixed. You know, crossing over and bridging that gap will help you have the best relationships you can imagine. You will learn more about yourself and about God than you will in your comfortable relationships. If people can't see you for who you are. So I really want to challenge you this year. Think about that one name that pops into your head when you think about being divided. Just one. It doesn't have to be somebody you have an attitude with. It can just be somebody who's like, she's so far removed from who I am. Think about that one person and make the effort. Decide that I'm going to be the first person to cross over this year. You know, Jesus crossed over. He was in heaven, streets of gold, angels worshiping all day. And he decided, no, I'm coming down. I'm going to cross over. I'm going to be there for my people. Please turn to 1 Peter 2. You know, I think most of you know that when we got here from Durban, we couldn't move into Werner and Lisa's house straight away. So we had to gate crash the Van Niekerk's house for 3 days. And as we got to their house, my eldest daughter is 6. She looked a bit like clingy and she was like, who are these people? And she just looked out of sorts. And she's very relational. She loves people. So it was very weird for me to see her like that. And I just bent down and I said, Gabby, these people are disciples, just like the disciples in Joburg. And in a second, I promise you, she was a different child. She was running around. She made best friends with the boys. It was just, she just completely relaxed because she knew I am in the company of disciples. Isn't that amazing? That security that it gives us. And this is what leads me to my second point. Which is entrust yourself to someone else. You know, the dictionary says entrust is to trust, commend, delegate, assign, deliver, or hand over. Now, I really like hand over because it's like, this is me, here I am, and I'm handing myself over to you. Don't you love that? It's like, I need your help, here I am. It's so great that we can do that in this church, sisters. It's complete surrender. It's saying, man, I'm not perfect, but I need you to help me. You know, our hearts are quite delicate items. I think sometimes we can be scared of giving our hearts because we feel like, I don't know what this person is going to do with my heart. But the scripture that always helps me with is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." Doesn't that just make you feel warm and fuzzy? That scripture does that for me. God is our overseer. He's the shepherd of my soul. So everything can be falling apart, but my soul is in good hands, sisters. And that's what matters. My soul is in God's capable hands. And you know, I think sometimes we think, oh, no, my soul is in the person next to me's hands. And that's very scary. It's not. Your soul is in the most capable hands ever, sisters. Trusting people starts with trusting God. If you can't trust God and who you are because of Him, you are going to battle to trust people. You just are. Because it's an unsafe place. Can I trust this person? But if you are secure in God and who God is and who you are because of God, you can trust people. And people will probably hurt you, but you're going to be fine because God is there. You know, sisters, it's always about God. Always, always, every situation, it's always about God. You know, God has a plan for our lives. You know, Okay, so because we know how much we need God and because we know how desperately we need help, we need to hand over ourselves to each other. We need to confess our sins. You know, I don't really know the Cape Town Church and if this is part of your practice, but this is something that should be a part of our practice, to confess our sins, because it's about God. I want to clear whatever's in the air. This is what happened on my day. This is me. You know, we need to carry each other's burdens. You know, we can't carry our burdens on our own. We need each other, you know. We need encouragement when we are weak. We need to encourage when others are weak. Okay. I don't know if this is something that happens in Cape Town, but I think in Joburg this definitely happens. But I think what happens often is that we can become very selective in what we share. Firstly, we become selective in who we share with. Because we think, okay, if people haven't been where I've been, will they be able to help me? Will they be able to understand or relate to me? If I've had some sickness, I can only speak to people who have that sickness. If you haven't worked in this industry, then you can't understand. Is this what you are saying? You know, we would have conflict and I'd be like, "Yeah, but I am humble." And he's like, "Yeah, no, you're not humble. This is what humility sounds like." And I'd be like, "This is what your humility sounds like. It's not what humility sounds like to me. I mean, that's how, because you are your own individual person, that's not my humility. That's ridiculous. That's just more pride. We need to be humble, sisters. We need to say, "I'm sorry. Maybe I was wrong. Help me understand." We need to be very deliberate that what comes out of our mouth before we speak is humility. You know, but then at the same time, we need to not just do all the do's of humility, but look at the heart of humility. In Luke 15, verse 17 to 20, you can just read that later. But we read the younger son's response to his father, the prodigal son. And I just love Luke 15 because he's just, "Oh my word, I'm not worthy. Make me a slave. What can I do? I'm so sorry. Forgive me." You know, his heart is just so humble. And so the first part of being humble comes from, you've got to come to your senses. The prodigal son had to come to his senses. And if we think we are better than other people, we need to come to our senses. You are not better than anyone else. You're not. You might think you are. You're not. I'm not better than anyone else. We're just not. So sisters, it's very important for us to come to our senses and know that I am not better than anyone. I don't know better. I might know better for me. Doesn't make it that I know better for you. I'm not sitting in your chair this morning. We need to be humble when we deal with each other. Secondly, true humility is accepting God's grace. You know, you don't see the prodigal son saying, "No, Father, no, I am such a sinful person. Don't forgive me. Make me a slave. I really want to be a slave. Don't make me your son again. Don't give me the ring." You don't read that. And I think sometimes we can even be like that. That we're like, "No, but, you know, the guilty soul." You are God's precious daughter. Accept God's grace. Because it leads us to the third thing, which is if you do not understand God's grace, you cannot give God's grace. And your relationships will be difficult. And resolving conflict will be a challenge. Because first you have to understand God's grace. Sisters, I really want to encourage you to go through that tunnel of chaos in 2013. I know you might think of somebody right now. Make that appointment. Go see that person. If it comes up, someone else through the year, decide, I'm going to go through that tunnel of chaos. I'm going to make that decision. You know, you'll never experience true love in this community if you are hiding things. You won't. And you're not the first one to do it. You're not. Be open. In humility, be open. Pray that the other person will be humble and help you. But entrust yourself, sisters. We need to entrust ourselves. Thirdly, we need to walk in love daily. In John 15, well, just turn to John 15. You know, we have to put the spiritual family of God first. It's so important, sisters. You know, last night was really, really awesome. And if you weren't here last night, please get the CD. It was really powerful. James did an amazing job. And I felt so great to be here. You know, I went to go fetch my daughters. And there were some of the teachers here last night having a braai. And it was such a contrast, them and their braai, and us in here talking about the one thing we want to change to glorify God. You know, this is something so precious. This is the best place on earth. I can't just drop you. You don't know anybody here. I mean, how do I know you're going to get back? Are you going to be okay? And I was like, no, really. It really is fine. Because that's what it's like. You can go anywhere and find a bunch of disciples and ask them to take you back to your hotel, even if they've never met you, and they'll do it. And they'll hug you at the door. You know what I'm saying? It's so precious what we have, sisters. You know, in San Antonio last year, I was walking to my class, and I heard the woman behind me saying to her son, I'm glad that you see what you've done wrong, but you still haven't said sorry to your brother. And I mean, I didn't even have to look around. I just knew that they were part of the conference. And so I turned around, and here she was with her little name tag, and, you know, they looked like they were from Mexico. But I was like, she sounds like me. You know what I'm saying? I was like, how many chats like that have I had with my daughters? Great. Okay, you're starting to see it. Now you have to apologize. You know what I'm saying, sisters? This is incredible what we have. And we need to choose to walk in this love daily. You know, true Christian community can only happen when we're really in each other's lives. Back to the Van Niekerks. So we had a dinner there the other night, and there were eight small children. So Jock put in his kitchen these two tables next to each other for the kids to have their dinner. But it was so sweet because what they did, they actually squeezed their chairs together, and they ended up sitting at the one table, which now had three sides because the other side was for the table. So all eight of them squeezed around this little table. And I just thought, that is so sweet. That's how close they want to be to each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how close can I get to you? That's what we should be like. You know, Jesus says, be like the little children for a reason, sisters. They're so pure and innocent. It's like, let's just be close. Let's just be tight. You know? So I think what this practically means for us is that we need to make every effort to be connected to our small groups. You know, in Joburg, I'm sure you guys do it here, but we have BBM groups, you know, where we all together and WhatsApp groups. And it's just, I mean, it was so hard for myself to delete myself off this BBM chat, family group BBM chat. It was so hard because I was like, oh, I'm cutting myself off. So I've stayed on the prayer one. So I'm not completely cut off from Joburg. But it's amazing. We've had chats where it's like, if you're not on it from the beginning, I mean, you are just lost because it's just 12 people all over the place sending messages to each other. But it's been such fun. We have laughed. And you know what I'm saying? We need to stay connected, sisters. You know, we need to be there for each other through the hard times. But you can't be there in the hard times if you don't know what the hard times are. You can't. You might want to be there, but you have to ask the questions. You need to say, how is it really going? How's it going in your job? How's your family? What can I do to be a better friend? Do you know what I'm saying, sisters? We really need to be there for each other. And then obviously you need to be at everything. You just do. If the church meets, I pity you if you don't come because it really is special. I mean, last night, even if you get the CD, that's great, but it was just powerful. James was on his knees begging us, please, you can't change it on your own. Because we can't. This is, we need each other. You know, if you choose for your one thing is to really become a woman of love this year, it would be a worthy year. It will be a year well spent if you can read every scripture on love and read every book you can find on love. It will be a year well spent. Things will come up and they always will, but we have to choose to give our hearts. You know, sometimes we just need to say no to other things, work, other obligations. We need to say, I have a meeting of the body. I have to be there. I don't want to miss out. I really want to be there. You know, as you sit here this morning, I'm sure that there are easy relationships in here and hard relationships. Ones that fit easily and ones that don't fit at all. I mean, I have them. So much can divide us, but so much more unites us, sisters. God is so much bigger than our differences. We owe it to ourselves and to Him to work through whatever we need to work through. In Ephesians 3, I just love this scripture. This to me is like God's brag scripture, okay? In Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says, His, God, His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And you know, when I think about that scripture, I think about God saying, look at it. Look, rulers and authorities, look at my church. Look at people getting along who would never get along. If it wasn't for my church, they would never be friends. If it wasn't for my church, if it wasn't for my son, this would never be possible. You know what I'm saying? It's like God is saying, look, look what I've done in my church. We can be a part of God's brag scripture, sisters. That God can look at the church and say, man, wow, look at them. Nothing is too difficult for them to talk about. There's no place that they won't go. They are willing to say whatever needs to be said to be united in love. Sisters, I really pray that this message will help you and that this will be a great year for you, a year of love, a year in which your friendships will grow and that it will really just take it to the next level. Let's pray.